Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Maria Rodriguez and Hare Krishnas by Lynn Nottage. Thank you for listening.
You see, we were sitting on this side of the block, and the Silent Twins sat on that side. But we were all poised for Maria Rodriguez's walk down to the bodega to get a grape icy and a pack of Nahualetas, which would stain her magnificent tongue purple. It was 4:15, the peak of a summer day, and by then she'd grown bored with the Mike Douglas show. It was always then that her walk, the walk, would begin. She'd stand at the top of the concrete stoop, one hand resting on her ample pre-aerobics thigh and the other clasping the ancient wrought iron banister for balance. And with a flick of her long brown processed hair, she'd shoot a haughty smile at the aging Irish sailor sitting in his window. 4:15. Then Maria straightened the red tube top around her prodigious bosom, which was much too large for the scant elastic halter. Lydia once tried to tell her.
Mija, where do you think you're going with that top? Don't you think you need to be wearing something a little less friendly? Don't be asking me to babysit for no Miguelitos.
You just jealous because I look good.
And with a snap of the fingers, Maria dismissed the world. Her looks her currency. War legendary.
Oh, you live on Maria's block, Maria Rodriguez. That pretty morena. I know her cousin Javier from Panama.
They always knew somebody, as though knowing Maria was the key to the city. All of this while the Equal Rights Amendment flowered just beyond reach, remaining elusive to the likes of Maria.
Mija, you just jealous because I look good.
She put words to our envy. 4:15. She straightened her matching red pants and began her descent down the concrete stoop, aloof and balancing on those mint green platform jellies she bought from Carlos. Remember Carlos, who lost 3 fingers in that terrible factory accident and with the settlement bought half a ton of plastic gadgets to sell from the back of his 2-toned Dodge Dart?
Check it out. You can use this for a pencil holder, and then look, mira. You wash it out, and it's a cocktail glass. I can give you $5 for $1. You ain't gonna find it no place else. Look at it. You want it, mommy? You're just too shy to ask. Come here, look at that. Just say yes, and it's yours.
And so Maria's feet would sweat in those mint green plastic jellies as she moved across the jagged slate pavement. Her head swaying from side to side, her index finger pointing forward like a band leader's stick, carefully directing her tiny steps. It was her third eye. The only thing that could break the spell was the Mr. Softy truck. Ice cream was our narcotic, but in sweltering heat, Maria never succumbed to the seduction. She was above petty temptations. So as we lapped up the colored sprinkles and drips of chocolate from the sides of our hands, Maria would pass with a broad smile, creasing her brow, betraying her age. She'd wink once without a word and continue onward. We'd watch, speechless, knowing she wouldn't acknowledge us on the way back, too consumed with the frozen grape ice and fraying wooden spoon. Secretly, we all wished we could grow up to be just like Maria. Our desire unified us, African and Latina. For in Maria, our beauty was shared. And she'd sit there oblivious of the fervor she'd caused, unfettered. Maria Rodriguez quietly sunned on the stoop, her thighs flattened and spread against the concrete, her tongue meditating on the now later squares.
You look too good to be true, baby. Can I get a bite? What's your name, mommy?
Laughing, she'd absorb the half-baked compliments of men.
I could lick you up.
But we knew she was waiting. Waiting for her boyfriend Silvio, the delicious Italian from across Smith Street, with his tight gabardines and shiny polyester shirt that always flashed us a synthetic wink. He'd bring her a pack of cool cigarettes and a kiss from the side of his mouth. Silvio was her pass. He held the promise of a life beyond the bodega. She was going to marry Silvio and move to the island. Not the long one, Manhattan.
And guess what I got for you, baby?
I can't. Tell me. I don't know.
She knew. We all knew, but he'd make her search his pockets anyway.
Come on, Silvio. Tell me.
Then she'd pull out the crumpled sheet of green stamps from his pocket and feign delight.
Oh.
You see, now you can get a footstool or something for them beautiful toes.
Or something. You know what I really want? Is to go to Manhattan and see Rockefeller Center or something.
It ain't so hot, all right? It's too crowded, and besides, I don't want the rest of the world to see you, because if they saw how beautiful you are, I might lose you.
Rockefeller Center. A few stops away on the subway and halfway around the world.
What's wrong, Maria?
She'd start to say something.
Nothing.
We could tell everything was wrong. The way he spoke without listening. That still summer. The too tight halter. The war in Vietnam that gobbled her brother. She folded the green stamps lovingly and slipped them into the top of her pants, and they would sit.
Nothing's wrong, Silvio.
So they remained, undisturbed on the crumpling stoop, their entire romance for our consumption, as though it couldn't exist without witnesses. And there they'd sit with his arms slung around her bare shoulders, until her mother beckoned.
Maria, sube para arriba, nena. Que tú eres tan andariega, tienes, tengo media.
Cool out, mommy. I'm coming. I gotta go in, Silvio.
Okay, well, I'll come by tomorrow.
Always, she'd wave goodbye to us, kiss Silvio lightly on the lips, and retreat into the brownstone. Silvio would throw us an unfinished smile. And as the street lamps turned on, he'd rise to leave, walking in brisk steps to make his three-block trip home before danger encroached. Danger was darkness. His arrogant daylight swagger would become a hurried three-step, his back hunched as though trying to disappear into himself.
Good night, Silvio. Get home safely.
Poor Lydia, with her stomach the size of an old man's. She, too, had desires of leaving the block for other possibilities.
Why don't Maria cast her net a little closer to home?
'Cause she don't want to end up with a fat behind sitting on a crate in the bodega talking about, Papi, why don't you ever take me no place? She knows what she's doing.
And so the ritual proceeded that summer. Until 4:15 that day. As I was saying, we were sitting on this side of the block, and the Silent Twins sat on the other side. On schedule, Maria was preparing for her descent.
Mm-hmm.
when suddenly they arrived in a patchouli haze like a whirlwind of bumblebees. Colors arresting and beautiful. Their heads were shaved, their faces striped with a wisp of white paint. The drum beat, their reveille.
Ah, that jive rhythm.
Our eyes widened, and suddenly the 70s descended upon our block. Our pavement was covered in flower petals, and Krishna was the god of love.
Looks like they bought the Siemens house.
Remember Carlos, the unyielding optimist who saw possibilities in every happening?
Must be like 40 of them people. Yeah, they're gonna need a lot of plastic, I bet you.
So it was on that day. She was looking fabulous in her red tube top outfit and mint green platforms. Even the silent twins were heard to say she had outdone herself. It was that kind of day of heightened expectations and wonderment, when there is perfection even in the giddiness of too many rides down the stoop in a tattered refrigerator box. 4:15. She lit a cigarette, nodded to the sailor. Then, they emerged from their brownstone in a procession, smelling of the East, and their sandals slapping the pavement. They seemed to be from another era, perhaps mythological. Not of our Brooklyn street with its uniform houses and predictability.
They're blinding me with their ill-chosen hues. Hey, you there! You! Don't you know nobody wears yellow that bright that ain't in the islands? This is New York, babies!
All eyes generally reserved for our Maria turned towards the Hare Krishnas, who collided with Maria at her front gate.
Hey, do you mind?
Excuse us.
The walk interrupted. Why didn't they recognize her?
Don't take that from them, chica.
The insult.
I don't know who you are in your bathrobes and slippers, but do you mind if I...
And she planted her hand on her hip. Prepared for a confrontation, Maria cocked back her head. But...
Excuse us. Do you want to pass? We almost didn't see you.
Imagine not seeing Maria.
Yeah, I want to pass. Why do you think I'm standing here?
We're just taking a look at the neighborhood. Join us. It would be our pleasure.
The man shoved a tambourine into her hand, and before Maria had time to think, she was swept up into a stream of Hare Krishnas.
Hey!
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
The procession continued to dance.
What's Maria doing with them? I didn't know she knew them. Hey, Maria, where are you going, girl?
Maria fought to remove herself from the crowd, but the rhythm was too persuasive, practically seductive. She liked the feeling of being surrounded, the aroma of other blocks, perhaps even other boroughs. She felt safe, out of sight, lost, free. We stupefied, watched as our girl Maria was swept down the street and around the corner, riding the crest of people like a homecoming queen. We'd never seen her leave our block, and we felt her absence immediately.
Oh my God, did you see that? They stole on Maria Rodriguez right in front of us and nobody did nothing. Poor baby was absolutely helpless. Who's gonna tell her mother?
They did what?
You still smell them? Sweet oils and incense.
No, wifeful.
I'm scared who will be next. Maybe me. I
knew this would happen one day. A beauty like that, it comes and then it goes. We must accept that she may not always be ours. What nature give it, it also take away.
Just then, Silvio appeared swaggering down the block. He ran his fingers across his DA hairstyle to ensure that everything was indeed in place. His baby blue slacks fit snug. his precious gemstones on display. He was wearing that much-loved mesh shirt, so we knew something special was on his mind. But who was going to tell him?
Where is she?
He had never really seen Maria's bare front yard. The weeds pressing through the concrete, the barbecue potato chip bag slowly fading in the sun, and the careless pile of La Colita bottle caps. It was his first time observing his lover's environment, unadorned.
Maria?
Silence.
Maria!
Indignant. He hated having to slowly turn around and look at us. Our faces grinning in anticipation. He hated having to raise his voice and ask that terrible question.
Hey, do you know where she is?
We nodded.
Can somebody tell me?
I don't know whether you want to know.
And of course, Lydia was dying to tell him.
Is there somebody else? Who is it?
It ain't who.
Just tell me.
They took her, Silvio. Them, in bright robes, playing drums and chanting in tongues.
And they appeared at the other end of the block, a swarm of color, hues of sunshine and summer fruit, their arms flailing wildly, their feet stomping, and in their midst, a huge, clunky pair of mint green platforms could be seen pounding the slate. In their midst, the lovely voice of our Maria Rodriguez could distinctly be heard.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Oh, yes. The silent twins heard it too and nodded in recognition.
Maria
smiled so joyously that it frightened Silvio, who fell back against the cast iron gate and cut his palm.
Oh! Maria! Get over here! Get over here! What do you think you're doing, all right? These ain't your kind of people.
Silvio, why are you yelling?
Well, ain't you happy to see me?
I'm always happy to see you.
You know, I look forward to one thing, baby, and that's knowing that when I get to Dean Street, you'll be sitting at the top of the stoop waiting for me.
But I met these people, and they're so...
Hey, don't stand so close to him. Jesus. I ain't used to seeing you standing up. You're so tall.
Imagine Silvio standing on his tippy toes. He was a good inch shorter than Maria.
Hey, maybe we should sit down.
I'm tired of doing that every day. And they've invited me over for lunch. And check it out. Nobody on this block has invited me into their house before.
It was true. In all of our adoration, we actually neglected her.
Look at them. They're hippies, Maria. Next thing you'll know, you'll be smoking pot and dancing naked in the rain. It makes me sick. They're freaks, Maria. Now tell me which one of those took you.
And Silvio flexed his post-adolescent pecs.
Nobody took me. I felt something. Can you understand? They made me feel like I was...
I don't believe you. Who did it? You'd rather have lunch with that guy in a dress instead of sitting with me? Why?
I don't know. Because I want to. And I always see you. I always...
The desperation soaked Silvio's brow and caused his mesh shirt to stick to his chest.
Look, I got something important I want to ask you.
Really, Silvio?
Maria's eyes lit up, and her newfound friends did not exist.
I've been thinking about marriage, Maria.
Really? It would be so cool to leave this block, to get a house someplace, maybe even Queens like mi prima Gladys. I ain't never been off this block until today, Silvio, and I want to go and see the avenues, Atlantic, Flatbush.
Well, I've been thinking about all that stuff, too, and I want to ask you.
Yeah?
He reached out and took her trembling hand in his bloody palm.
You see, Maria, my mother's been on me to settle down for a long time, and baby, I can't imagine life without you, and I'd like to ask if I was...
Yeah?
To marry this other girl, an Italian girl I know, would you still be my Maria, my number one sweetheart?
What? You want to marry somebody else?
No, well, yeah. But you're really the most beautiful girl I've ever seen, and I can't give that up. But, you know, my mother, she said it might be hard, you know, having brown babies that don't speak English so good. But maybe we are ready, but the world ain't. I'm asking you for something more than marriage. I'm asking you to accept all of my love without the confines of marriage. Ain't that better?
What if I was to say no?
It'd break my heart.
Well, there you have it.
Come on, please, don't do this to me. Not in front of everybody.
What about me?
And Maria sank to the pavement slowly, releasing her dream, rubbing her now bloody palm across the slate. We knew that she cultivated that walk, so that one day someone like Silvio would stand on the stoop and ask for her hand. Maria picked up the tambourine. She beat the tambourine for all of us who'd been passed over. A slow rhythm of reckoning. And in that rhythm, there came an awakening. The frustration of the woman's movement, the anger of the black power movement, and the unconditional smiles of the Hare Krishnas awaiting nirvana.
Leave me alone, Silvio. I'm tired of waiting for someone to take me away. No longer.
The Italian grabbed for Maria's arm, but she beat him away.
I don't want to see you on my block again. Go. I will not be treated this way. I ain't no test drive, baby. I am the real thing. I am Maria Rodriguez. I have been invited to lunch. Please excuse me.
Oh, yes. And Silvio shot us one of his terrible smiles, then raced down the block, never to be seen again. Maria then followed the entourage into their brownstone for a vegetarian meal.
Ugh, rice don't taste like nothing without pork.
We waited until darkness for Maria to reemerge, but our mothers summoned, and we retired to an evening of sitcoms and Frozen Swanson's dinners.
I'm not going in yet. I'm not gonna leave her in there.
Poor Lydia, who'd never have the courage to eat rice without pork. Even she eventually grew tired and slipped inside. The next day, we all perched on the curb for Maria Rodriguez's walk down to the bodega to get a grape icy and a pack of Nowalators. The Mike Douglas show had been on for nearly 40 minutes.
Where is she?
We'd been betrayed. Our block was defined by Maria's walk, and to lose her was tantamount to a beheading, a public execution of our spirit.
Somebody gotta do something. Carlos, for God's sake, ring their bell.
No. They may cast some kind of spell on me, too. No.
Just then, the Hare Krishna's door cracked open.
Hello, sidewalk. Hello, hydrant. Hello, steps.
Maria eased out, swathed in a brilliant flowing robe. She waved a tiny sprig, an offering. Wafts of patchouli and sandalwood emanated as the others emerged. We listened, watched, amazed. And as she passed, we anticipated the wink, waiting. But her face remained unmoved, focused in an almost ethereal gaze. And just as we thought we'd lost our Maria, she turned and shared a smile as to say,
"It's all right. I'm happy."
She put words to our envy. And then she disappeared around the corner in a flurry of sound and color. The walk anew.
You've been listening to Maria Rodriguez and the Hare Krishnas by Lynn Nottage. With original music by Willie Ruiz, Lisa Jones, director, and Phyllis Tobin, assistant director. Casting, Phyllis Tobin. Sherman Johnson, production assistant. The actors were
Edwin Lugo, Bettina Mercado, Lidia Ramirez, y Marlise Yerby. Los músicos fueron Pablo Chino Núñez, Jaime Ramos, y Willie Ruiz.
Production at the Erickson Studio in Brooklyn, New York, with Steven Erickson Engineer. Maria Rodriguez and the Hare Krishnas was made possible with a grant from the Jerome Foundation in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It is a commission of the 1995 New American Radio Series.
Just heard Maria Rodriguez and Hare Krishnas by Lynn Nottage, broadcast by New American Radio.